Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Empowerment Place Ministries and another episode of Using My Keys. This is your host, Prophet Valerie Burrell, grateful and thankful to God for another opportunity to come and share a word of empowerment with those who have an ear to hear. I want to thank everybody for their support last month, the month of February, and the success we had with all of the teachings on love. And we'll be touching on love again this month and the month coming, as I believe we just scratched the surface on what the Lord would have us to share. But I thank you for that. I thank you for that. This week, we have heard a lot of things. Heard a lot of things. People saying things, and it's apparent that they didn't mean what they were saying. Just a whole lot going on. And so the Lord just dealt with me about making sure that we understand that there is some accountability to what we speak to the Father. And we have to know that if we said it, we better be doing what we said. So, Father, I thank you this morning for this teaching time. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the anointing now to teach and to release that which you placed in my spirit. God, I ask that for everyone listening now and for those who will listen later, God, that this word will establish and cause to take place that which you desire in their lives, oh God, that we would be accountable, more accountable to that which we conversate with you. God, we thank you now for every hindrance being bound so that this word will flow freely, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So we're coming from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. From the New English Translation, it reads this way: Be careful what you do when you go to the temple of God. Draw near to listen rather than offer a sacrifice like fools, for they do not realize that they are doing wrong. Do not be rash with your mouth or hasty in your heart to bring up a matter before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Just as dreams come when they are many cares, so the rash vow of a fool occurs when there are many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in paying it, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better for you not to vow than to vow and not pay it. Verse 6 says, Do not let your mouth cause you to sin, and do not tell the priest it was a mistake. Why make God angry at you so that he would destroy the works of your hands? Verse 7 says, Just as there is futility in many dreams, so also in many words. Therefore, fear God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are you keeping your vow to God based on the words that you're speaking? What's a vow? What's a promise? What is that about? A lot of people, when they think about vows, they think about marriage, the vows that a man makes to a woman and a woman makes to a man, that puts them in a covenant agreement. They're vowing to love. They're vowing to be with each other through thick and thin, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others until death do they part. They're making a vow, a promise to each other. But do you realize how many times we make a vow to God? Verse 1 talks about when you're in the house of God. The house of God. When you come into the house of God, to be careful in the house of God. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be ready to hear, more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. So, you know, someone might say, well, that's only talking about when I go to church. But let me remind you of this, that we are the temple. We are the temple of God. The Spirit of God resides on the inside of us. So wherever we are, that is where God is. Our bodies are the house of God. So let me help you with that first and foremost. It says, keep thy foot, which says that everywhere your feet take you, you are carrying the house of God, because the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of you. So there's not a place that you can step into, there's not a place you can go that you will escape being in the presence of God. Psalm 139, 7 through 12 says this, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even in the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. We can't escape God. We can't escape him. So wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, you've got to be careful what you're saying, because God is present. He's there. You are his sanctuary. You can't escape it. Passage of scripture goes on further. In verse 2, work with me. Do not be rash with your mouth or hasty in your heart to bring up a matter before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. How many of us know a chatterbox? Or you may be a chatterbox. You always got so much to say. So much to say. And not really paying attention to what God is saying, because you're talking too much. What happens when you talk and not listening? Generally, we miss something. We miss something. We talking. We're not listening. So God is saying, look, be careful. Be careful with your mouth. Be careful what you're speaking, because there's going to be some accountability. Then we have to be mindful, too. When we're speaking, the word says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we look at the fact that we've got to be careful, because we are the temple of God, we've got to be mindful that out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth opens up, that we have to present ourselves to God right. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we've talked about that before. about our reasonable service and how as our relationship with the Father grows, our service unto the Lord should also grow. Our degree of measuring what reasonable is should be increasing daily because our relationship with the Father, our dependency with the Father, our conversation with the Father should be increasing every day. But the scripture goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That perfect will of God. So, again, are you keeping? This is a question that's being posed. Are you adhering to what's coming out of your mouth? To God. Are you doing it? Are you having that slip of the tongue? Oops, oops. Are you constantly in that oops, oops, God, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. You're finding yourself saying, God, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. And really, come on. We know what we were getting ready to say. We generally thought about it before we released it. Matthew 12:35-37 says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account therefore in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by the words thou shalt be condemned. Are you keeping your vow to God? The scripture just says to us, every idle word that a man speaks, they shall be accountable thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by the words thou shalt be condemned. Our own words are going to either make us or break us. And our words are reflective of the condition of our heart. So when we're opening up our mouths, when we're saying what we're saying, it really speaks to our character and our relationship with the Father. Speaks loudly of who you really are. You know, a lot of people try to fake it till they make it. They try to use this facade and, you know, they put on the holy act. Oh, I love the Lord. The Lord is wonderful. The Lord is good. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. This is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. They say all of that to make you think that they got it going on in their relationship with God, when the truth of the matter is if you continue to listen and listen intently, you really find out where their heart is. Not just towards God, but where their heart is concerning you. Saying you're a Christian, but your conversation lets me know that you are of the world. It's important. It's important that we recognize that our mouth can get us in trouble. Our mouth can get us in trouble because it speaks our truth. Even when we're trying to front and play the game, when we open our mouth, truth will come forward. And then we have to be accountable. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and the fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Let it sink in. When people are opening up their mouths, we get to see how true they are or how foolish they are. How true they are or how foolish they are. And we get down to verses 4 and 5. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou should not vow than that thou should vow and not pay it. You faced a hardship. You faced a situation that was critical to you or to your family or to your children, and you uttered out of your mouth so quickly, God, if you come through for me this time, God, I promise you, God, with everything that's in me, I promise you, God, that I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to serve you. God, I'm going to give you my all because, God, you've been good to me. God, I just can't praise you enough. All these things that we begin to promise God because we had a need. And then as soon as the situation gets better, as soon as the air clears, as soon as that promise has been answered, you go back to your old ways, not even considering the promise you made to God. If you promised that you were going to serve him, guess what? He's expecting to see you serve him. Don't think that God has forgotten what you vowed. And please know that if you vowed and didn't do it, if you vowed and didn't obey, there are consequences. The word tells us it's better to, obedience is better to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Got away from me just that quick. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So when you make that vow, it's better to obey what you stated than to deal with the consequences and the sacrifices that will follow behind it because you did not obey. Let me put it to you in our everyday situations. I'm going to a car dealership because I want a car. I know how much money that I have set aside to get this car. But I see this car on the lot, and the salesman is really good. And the salesman convinces me that I'll be able to make this payment. I'll be able to do it because he painted this picture of me driving this car that made it seem so glamorous that I was like, you know what? I don't care if the interest rate is 29%. I don't care if I budgeted for a car payment that's $200 a month, but now I'm driving away in a car that's car payment $400 a month. So what if it means that I'm not going to be able to eat and I'm not going to be able to get my light bill paid and this might take some of the money from my rent? I'm going to be driving this nice car. And so you get the car and you're able to make the first payment and you're able to make the second payment, and already you're seeing that it's hurting some other things that you've got to do, and here comes the third payment, and you rob Peter, Paul, and John just to pay the car payment, and now the next month comes, and you can't honor the vow. You can't honor the contract, and so now there's some consequences because they're blowing my phone up and they're threatening to come and take my car. And, oh, no, now I got to start parking my car at my friend's house because I think the repo man coming and trying to take my car. And I don't want them to take my car. But the truth of the matter is you never should have bought the car because that's not what you went looking for. See, the enemy will have you thinking that, oh, you can do it. You can do it. When you know, when you first went there, there was a limit. There was a limit. And you said, oh, well, I trust God. If God didn't want me to have it, you know, the salesman wouldn't have said what he said. Really? Really? Are you that naive? Really? When God said before you went out there, get a car. I'm going to allow you to get the car, and you're going to pay this much a month for it. But you did what you wanted to do. You spoke what you felt your flesh wanted because you wanted to impress some people. You wanted to impress some people. So you get the car. But in the end, you lose the car. You lose it. You lose it. Because you made a vow that you couldn't keep. A vow unkept is a lie. And a lie brings forth judgment of God. A vow unkept becomes a lie. And a lie brings forth judgment of God. Now, we can all take a poll right now of our own life. How many times have we gotten in trouble because we didn't keep a vow? How many times have we misstepped because we made a vow, and sometimes not even with intent to keep it? Because you've got to know that God cannot bless our disobedience. And when we disobey, he will allow things to come our way to remind us of the vow that we made and we did not keep. You're thinking now, oh my God, I made some vows, God, and I haven't kept them. Is that why I'm dealing with this? Is that why this is happening, God? Is this to get my attention, Father, because I haven't obeyed you? But see, God, what happened was when I said that, I really didn't mean it. He said, no, don't give me that. Are you trying to tell me that you're a fool? Because see, out of the abundance of your heart, these words were spoken. So are you trying to tell me I can't trust anything you say? I can't trust anything that you say? We've got to be careful to do what we've told God we were going to do. We've got to be careful that we don't promise God anything that we're not willing to do. God, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to pray with Live at 5. I'm going to get up on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5, God, because I know that when they pray, their prayers are answered. God, I've seen it. I've heard about it, God. I've been a witness to the prayers that they prayed and how God moved and the manifestation. God, I'm going to get up on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 a.m., God, and I'm going to pray with Live at 5. And I remind them that when you don't call in for prayer, you're not offending me. You're not offending the others that call in Live at 5. And they're being blessed. You're not hurting us. But what you're doing is that you've made a vow to God. And he's holding you accountable to what you promised him that you would do. And so then you start having these moments where you're feeling disconnected and your relationship is feeling stressed and you're feeling some pressures on your life and you're saying, God, what is going on? And he's saying, look, you keep promising me that you're going to do these things, and you are not keeping your promises to me. So why do you want me to continue to bless me, and you're constantly being disobedient? And he said, this is not even stuff that I ask you to keep. I ask you to keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm not even talking about that. I'm merely talking about the things that you promised me out of your own mouth that you would do, and you're not even doing that. So if you're not keeping your words to me, how then would I expect you to keep my word? I need you to be accountable to what you've spoken. There are things in our lives that are not finished. We all have them. I've got a list of things that are unfinished on a movie screen. I just saw some of it flash before me. Some things that I said, God, I'm going to get this done. God, I'm going to get that finished. God, I'm going to go here. God, yeah, and they've not been done. But he's reminding each of us this morning that he's holding us accountable to the things that we promised him that we would do. The things that we vowed that we would do, we are accountable to God for those things. And God wants to see them get done. God wants us to get it right today. He wants us to start fulfilling our vows to him. He said, if you promised that you were going to give me your whole heart, he wants it. If you promise that, God, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to do what's right, then he wants you to start operating in purpose. He wants you to know his plan and his will for your life. He expects to see some new things from you. When you gave your life to Christ, when you received him as Lord and Savior of your life, say, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. Then he wants our all. Not all of what we want to give him, but he wants our all. Have you been keeping your word to God? Are you being accountable? You are being accountable. Are you being mindful of the vows that you've made that have not been fulfilled? This morning, go back. Take an assessment of what you've done, what you've said to the Father, what you've promised him that has not been fulfilled, and then make a change today. God wants to bless his people. He has treasure that's stored up for us. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And because we are the righteousness of God, there's some things that he wants to release to us. But before they can, there are some vows, some promises that we must fulfill to him. We must fulfill those promises. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for the reminder, Father, that there are some things that we have to do, some promises that we have to fulfill. God, we trust you to do what you say, but, God, we've not been doing what we said to you. So, Father, we ask now that you would forgive us, that you would realign us, oh God, with your plan and your purpose and your will for our lives. Father, that we would do those things that we've promised you. Forgive us, Father. And from this day, I'm speaking for Valerie, because I can't speak for you all. I'm speaking to you, Father, that those things I've vowed, God, bring them back to my remembrance so that they can be fulfilled, so that all that you have for me, I'm able to receive. We thank you for your word today, God. We ask that you would bless those who've received this word and who apply this word to their lives so that their vows will be fulfilled. And we count it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for having an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. As I've shared, this word has empowered me, and I trust that it has empowered you as well. Every day as we're empowered, please, my brothers, my sisters, let's take the responsibility to empower others. God bless you until next time.